Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from California. Today is Wednesday, September 20th. Today we are reading from the Big Book, the fourth edition. We are on page 155, and we'll be reading the first full paragraph and the footnote. Today's readers are Kara L., Penny L. C., and Shelley E., and also Joanne L. and Cindy H. The reference numbers for Tuesday, September 19th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 20,656-20656. The reference number for Wednesday, this morning, September 20th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 20,662-20662. The following is the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and thank you very much for your service, Jody E., and welcome to all the newcomers. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much, and I pass. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. from Rhode Island. And I will now ask Cindy H. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, I am Cindy H. from Michigan, a recovered but not cured compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cindy H. from Michigan. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your sharing to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 155, paragraph 1. I will ask Kara L. to begin reading.
Good morning, Jody. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. His call to the clergyman led him presently to a certain resident of the town who, though formerly able and respected, was then nearing the nadir of alcoholic despair. It was the usual situation: home in jeopardy, wife ill, children distracted, bills and errands, and standing damaged. He had a desperate desire to stop, but saw no way out, for he had earnestly tried many avenues of escape. Painfully aware of being somehow abnormal, the man did not fully realize what it meant to be alcoholic. And our asterisk here says, this refers to Bill's first visit with Dr. Bob. These men later became co-founders of AA. Bill's story opens the text of this book. Dr. Bob's heads this. Dr. Bob's story heads the story section. Thanks. This is Kara, recovered compulsive overeater. You know, we've been slowly getting to this point of this very, very famous meeting, right, of Dr. Bob and Bill, and we're going to hear more about it in the upcoming paragraphs, and how Bill paused and made this choice, you know, bar or call. And for me, when I read this and I start to try to apply it to my own life, I said, well, how does that, you know, how does these two gentlemen back in the 30s, you know, how does this apply to me? They're alcoholics. I'm a compulsive eater. Well, I can really identify with, you know, the desperate desire to stop, seeing no way out, and earnestly, I took many avenues for escape, right? And I was painfully aware of being somehow abnormal, and I didn't fully realize what this meant, right? What it really meant to be a compulsive eater. I just thought I needed, if I worked hard enough, found the right solution, then I could stop this problem with this compulsive eating. I can control it. And unfortunately, throughout my life, this is the will and the idea I apply to everybody and everything. If I just work hard enough, find the best solution, I can make everything happen. And it really, you know, when I walked through the doors, I did not know, even though my life was in ruins, I did not know that not having the answers was the answer for me. I did not know at that time that finding a power greater than myself to handle the situations that I didn't know how to handle was the answer for me. You know, today, after working these steps and continuing to work these steps and doing my best to be of service in all areas of my life, I know today that when I am struggling to find the answer, the cure, the best solution, that just to make it right, is when I need my higher power the most. And it's when I have to work through the steps to find that connection and to help release my will so that I can be in my higher power's will. So today, what I do is I say, I don't know how to do this. Higher power, please, I need help. Sometimes it's a quick prayer of just, whatever, God, whatever your will is, to show me how to best serve.
And to remind us.
Thank you, Joni. However I need to get out of this situation, you know, your will always be the best. Thank you for everybody who's going to share today. I look forward to hearing from you, learning from each of you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Kara L. from California. I will now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Again, that's paragraph 1 on page 155. And before I do, I will say that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share today?
Donna B. Golda.
Donna B. Golda.
Susan M.
Susan M.
David M.
David M.
Joanne B.
Joanne B. Okay, let's start with that group. I have Donna B. Golda, Susan M., David M., and Joanne B. Please go ahead, Donna.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Donna, spelled D-A-N-A-B, calling from Denver, Colorado. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge purge bulimic, and exercise bulimic. I can just so relate to the quote-unquote usual situation of being a compulsive overeater and bulimic without a solution. Although my quote-unquote usual situation did not meet this specific list of things, for me, it looked like an inability to be in healthy relationships, an inability to stay at the same job despite my coveted higher education, just so much confusion and depression and anxiety and insomnia and health problems, and, you know, the list just goes on and on and on. And when I talk to compulsive overeaters and bulimics that are in the food, their situation is very similar to the situation that I've been relieved from as a result of a miracle that's been given to me, not because I work hard, not because I follow all the rules and do all the things, but just because a higher power loves me. And that's such a new concept for me to even, like, the words are coming out of my mouth and I'm like, who is that person? And I can also obviously relate to the desperate desire to stop, but and earnestly trying every single avenue of escape and not being able to do it. I just couldn't do it. I tried everything, from the conventional to the crazy. I tried everything, and nothing brought me relief so much as working the steps as outlined in the Big Book, which allowed me to develop a relationship and to get access to a power greater than myself. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Golda, please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Golda from Israel. I'm a compulsive overeater. And it was the usual situation. The beauty of this is when we're in our disease, it's pretty predictable. Even though we all have different kinds of food disorders and eating disorders, but the reality is that's why you can write a textbook about symptoms. You know, they're very predictable. When we're sick, we're sick. And I was always trying to control my intake of sugar, flour. I was always looking if I eat this and I won't eat that, manipulating and obsessing. And if I do this and if I don't do that, then I'll be able to eat this. And, I wasn't in the world. I wasn't in the reality. So that's the usual situation. And, it's once we get into recovery and we start letting God, I started letting God, direct me. I have access to his guidance now. Then I can be unique. I can be special in a good way, you know. There is no way out. That's the thing. There is no way out with human aid. And really each day, frankly, I need to renew that realization that, you know, it says the man did not fully realize what it meant to be alcoholic. I need to each day remember I can't run the show. If I try to run the show or if I think I'm in control and I can do this by myself, because that is my default, that's when I go back into some form of the disease and the cycle. And but once I remember what it means to be a compulsive overeater, it means I need a spiritual solution. So I need to stay in the steps and keep in contact with my higher power. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Golda, what's your initial of your last name?
H. As in Harry, H.
Okay, Golda H. Yes. From Israel. Thank you so much. Susan M., please go ahead.
Hi, thank you, Susan. I'm from Florida, grateful to be here. Recovered compulsive overeater, and I really identify with the desperation piece. You know, I came out here, my husband and I went on vacation for 6 days, went to Disney, and I brought my recovery with me. You know, we went to an in-person meeting every morning and shared, and our food plan came with us. It did take extra time, you know, I actually had to do 10 steps over that, you know, going to the grocery store, cooking all the food, weighing and measuring everything, bringing my meals. And it took longer. You know, we didn't get to the park sometimes until, you know, 1 p.m., 2 p.m., 3 p.m. even. There are people there starting at 9 a.m. And I was ruffled. You know, this isn't a perfect process, but I stayed recovered. I really did. And I had a process when things upset me. You know, I spoke with my sponsor. I spoke with my sponsee daily. You know, I did my nightly review, prayer meditation in the morning, and it kept me stable. And it kept me, doing the deal. And, you know, it wasn't perfect. Certainly, you know, there's improvement that can be had. And, you know, things happen in the material world. And so, you know, I had to, work some program around it. But I stayed abstinent, thank you, God. And not easy. You know, everywhere we turned, there was, like, a food thing or, you know, people eating something or smells, holy mackerel. But, you know, we did it, and I'm grateful for that. You know, I feel okay. I feel consistent. Nothing happened. My clothes still fit. You know, everything's okay. I'm going to go home, talk to my nutritionist, make some adjustments if needed, you know, and still work my program. Because recovery is the most important thing. I remember what it was like in disease, and I wouldn't trade recovery for anything, truly. If it takes a couple hours, if it takes some phone calls, if it takes some work on, you know, coming to meetings and sharing, whatever it is, it's worth it. You know, I'd rather spend that time up front, you know, with choice, choosing to do that, than, you know, in the back end, having to compensate because I ate out of, you know, of food and I have to do all these things now, and I feel guilty and remorse and everything. So, yeah, absolutely desperation, and it keeps me sober and abstinent, and I'm grateful for that. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Susan N. from Florida. David M., please go ahead.
Hi. Hi, everybody. David M., compulsive overeater. It's a desperate part. I'd be rewriting me, too. From Florida. I'm just really desperate trying to change my behaviors in my marriage. A lot of, like, selfish behaviors that disconnect me and my wife, especially with the food. Eating before her, just like, you know, moving and standing and eating and moving, like, not waiting until I sit down, and it's like, you know, not saying a prayer before, you know, I eat, and it's just like, you know, I'm really, really trying to work on these behaviors, it's other behaviors too. I'm really desperate for this change, and it's coming slowly but surely, learning things. Just got to build up a habit for it. You know, I've been single for so long and just recently married 4 years ago, and I'm really learning how to live with another person and, like, you know, spend my life with somebody. It's not just me anymore, you know. I have to, you know, I'm not a single bachelor in my house doing what I want, you know. It's like, it's, you know, anyway, but that's what I want to share, and glad to be here, glad to be on the program, and investing.
Thank you so much, David. David M. from Florida. Joanne B., it's your turn.
Good morning. This is Joanne B. from Texas, recovered one day at a time. I'm so grateful. You know, I'm getting to read the big book again with a new book, which is kind of funny to do over and over because I'm such a tightwad on spending my money. But so it's fun to get a new book and mark it all up. And I was looking at this word nadir. There are several ways to pronounce it, but it's the lowest point in the fortunes of a person or organization, the lowest point of suffering. And I think about my lowest point when I was after a binge, and I woke up to it, realizing, you know, stuffing food in my face and realizing I had consumed a box of these, you know, treats. And I thought, what did I do? I didn't know I even had done it. And so the next morning, you know, I go to bed. What else do you do? I'm so embarrassed. I go to bed and wake up not wanting to start the day, not wanting to even look at it, asking my higher power to just let me die, that I couldn't do it anymore. And that was this place I was at when I first came to this realization. I didn't know, honestly, I didn't even know that it wasn't normal what I was doing with my food. I didn't know anything about an allergy. I just knew that I kept going back. I kept returning back to the food, no matter what I had promised or, you know, said. I just kept going back and going back and going back. And the shares so far, this is another word, the bills in arrears. I mean, oh my goodness, most of my life was in arrears. I mean, I was so behind on everything. I couldn't function. And working through the steps now, since I've worked through them, and I work through them every day, I'm growing and realizing, getting rid of past damages and learning how to live life and learning how to live in the present, how to keep bills caught up and just how to live responsibly. That's one of the blessings that I'm finding in because of our program. I'm just very grateful to be in this place today. I still have my emotional problems and have to do my 10th steps, you know, of course, and I'm still growing. I still expect myself to be perfect and have to realize that I'm not, and I still go back to those false belief systems, and I get brought back, and that's what I'm grateful for in our program. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne B. from Texas. All right, I'll now take another list of people who would like to share, but I will say first that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who else would like to share today?
Tom L.
I'm sorry, say again.
Tom L., Tom Lambrecht.
Tom L., okay. And who else?
Lisa L.
Lisa L.
Karen E.
Karen E.
E.
B. Karen B.
Yep. E.
E as in eagle?
Yeah.
Karen E. as in eagle. Got it. Anyone else? All right, we'll start with those three, Tom L., Lisa L., and Karen E. Please go ahead, Tom.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tom L., a compulsive overeater. Very glad to be here. And glad to hear a fellow from another fellowship. I have a media addiction that's pretty bad. Of course, Bill was just coming off of thinking that drinking was a great idea. And he was in familiar ground here. He was like, oh, here's a hopeless alcoholic, like all the ones I've seen at the hospital. I know what to do with this person. You know, I can't make a living. I can't convince people to buy or sell the company or whatever he was trying to do over there. But I definitely can give the program as I understand it to this person. So there was kind of a comfort. I get a feeling of comfort that he is dealing with a known quantity. Oh, an alcoholic. Yes, he's a doctor. Yes, he's part of the Oxford group. But he is an alcoholic. He doesn't really understand. Maybe I can help him. So I work with a couple guys, some who are sicker than others, And currently, a sick one is someone who is very competent, very has a high-powered profession, but he's been stumbling in and out of OA for 20 years. And I get to, when I talk to him, I get to hear the thought process. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, I'm check, 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 check. You know, I'm going to do, which within 30 days he's going to relapse. That's his usual pattern. OA is part of his illness, strangely enough. When I relapse, I just leave OA for years, and I get really sick, and I break, and I come back, and I go, I'll do whatever you want. And then I do work the steps. I get rebuilt, get a couple years under my belt, and then lose track. I get lost in myself again. But this guy, I love working with him because, you know, I can. It's a known quantity. I can see the mind operating, and it, of course, working with him, whether he stays sober or not, helps me stay sober one more day. That's the joy of the 12th step. Is that if I'm actually doing it, I feel better. I feel the flow of God's power. I can hear stuff at meetings. When I'm not working with other people, that's not the case. I slowly am worked out of the program. So I'm glad to be here today.
And where are you from, Tom? I think he said California. Tom L. Thank you so much, Tom. Lisa L., please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Lisa L., recovering in Ohio. And the first thing that jumped out at me was alcoholic despair. And I'm still there. I'm on day 13, working in step one. And what's funny is, you know, I've been in OA for 4 years and abstinent most of the time, but I pick up every, you know, 30 to 100 days and obviously not recovered. And I honestly thought that I earnestly tried to work this program for the past 4 years, but that's all about me still trying to control. And then the next thing that jumped out at me is he had a desperate desire to stop. And when I just read that this morning, it's like, I didn't have a desperate desire to stop eating. I had a desperate desire to feel better and to find a solution, have a better life. But I'm ready to stop now. You know, I'm powerless over food and my recovery. I have to give it all to my higher power, you know, saying that I'm going to, you know, do everything that my sponsor says. I mean, yes, that's the plan. That's my intent. But not a day goes by that there's usually one thing that I don't do that she has asked me to do. So, yeah, that just tells me that I need a higher power. I am not in control of my recovery. And, you know, it took what it took. You know, the 4 years, I didn't come in desperate to stop. And it took the time in OA to come to that. But yeah, that imperfectly. If I think that I'm going to do things perfectly, then I'm relying on self. But I have faith. And like I said, I think I said I'm in step one. Yeah, this is a true step one, a deeper one into my heart, not just into my head. And I thank God for that. Wish everybody a happy day. Thank you for your service. Bye.
Thank you so much, Lisa L. from Ohio. Karen E., please go ahead. And where are you
Hi.
From, Karen?
Hi, I'm Karen E. I'm from California on vacation in Florida this week. So I appreciate all the shares. Really great. This is a great paragraph. The part that really speaks to me is the end of the paragraph where it says he had a desperate desire to stop, but on the way out, he had tried many avenues to escape, painfully aware of being somehow abnormal. The man did not fully realize what it meant to be alcoholic. I came in about a month and a half ago, and, you know, I've always known that I had issues with food, but, and my weight fluctuated a lot in my lifetime. My mother was definitely one of us. And so I've done all the things to control my weight. So on the outside, nobody could really see that you know, I had problems with food. I'm very blessed to have an amazing sponsor very early in my recovery and working the steps and learning, becoming aware of and fully realizing what it means to be a compulsive overeater and all of the isms involved, and my need to control and my desire to be perfect and my critical nature and my obsessive mind and my thinking and I'm learning a lot about myself and my disease, and I'm just very grateful that the vision meetings are here and I have a place to go to learn and grow. And find peace and serenity with food. I was also blessed yesterday.
Gentle reminder.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just want to say I got to make my dad's favorite birthday cake for him. He turned 90 this month, and I didn't even have a desire to eat any of it. So that was awesome. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Karen E. from California. I'll now take another lineup of people who would like to share. We have time for maybe three or four people. Who else would like to share on this paragraph? We're on page 155, the first full paragraph. And the asterisk, the note at the bottom of the page. Press star one. Any else?
This is Roz. I'm going to open up my book and make a comment.
Okay, Roz. Roz G. Anyone else? Okay, we'll go with Penny LC and Roz G. Go ahead, Penny.
Thank you very much, Jody, for your service. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Good morning to everyone on the line. When I read about this paragraph, I wanted to share some context shared with me. And this is May 11th, 1935. The clergyman is Walter Tongst, T-O-N-G-S-T, and the description of a resident in the town, that is the Dr. Bob, was at the home of Henrietta Seiberling, and this is where Bill made the connection. And being in that position, you know, Bill understood. He definitely understood the desperate desire to stop, but seeing no way out, you know. And so to be able to be now in a position where he saw a way out, he knew a way out, and to be able to pass that on is just such a gift that, you know, whether it's, I need to have my motive in the right place, but being able to pass it on is just an amazing process to be able to touch someone else's life who's struggling the way I struggled. And it's hard to think about being abnormal, but boy, I fit every definition of it in terms of, you know, not eating normally, thinking normally about food, behaving normally around others. I couldn't control my food, but boy, I sure wanted to control everything and everyone around me. And you know, I am so glad that it was passed on to me by others in this program about what it really meant to be an alcoholic. The doc op wasn't there. The doctor's opinion wasn't there for anyone to read at that time, but I'm so glad it was there for me to read so I could understand, you know, the allergy of the body and the obsession of, and know that the diets that I was on then were never going to be the answer, but recovery was such a gift that I found it. It's there for each of us. That out.
Thank you so much, Penny L.C. from Washington. Roz G., please go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in the city, the county of Los Angeles. And reading this paragraph reminds me of what my situation was before I came into program. And the way that my disease affected my family, my children especially, as I'm a single parent, kind of like I heard a single person earlier share, but I was, you know, abstaining from sugar. And because I couldn't eat, I don't even like to use the word abstain from sugar. I couldn't eat sugar. I couldn't eat sugar. I can't eat sugar. I'd say that. Nobody cares, but I'd say it. You know, I'd say it. And so it punished my whole family, my kids, because there was no sugar in the house or none of this or that. Or then when I was in relapse or eating, I would, you know, the Dove bars would be for me. And they would get popsicles or, you know, it just a completely self-centered, selfish, inconsiderate, just awful. And bills in their arrears broke halfway through the month. I'd get paid, you know, spend the money, go to the store, do this and that. And then there'd be nothing left. And, you know, the kids would be eating, you know, Top Ramen or, you know, 25-cent box macaroni and cheese for the rest of the month. I had no clue how to live. And these 12 steps and this program has taught me how to be a mature woman who lives a life of maturity and order and dependence upon God. I didn't fully realize what it meant to be a compulsive overeater until, you know, many relapses. And coming into a vision for you and reading the doctor's opinion. That's when I understood what it meant to be. And then, you know, that was just the beginning, having to change my whole personality, you know, a psychic change, and be a woman that's God-centered and other-centered and considerate of others. So that's what this program has done for me. And the home life was hard. Today, my house is pretty much blissful. Of course, it's not perfect. Nobody's is. But I just decorated for fall, and it's full of scarecrows and leaves and cinnamon flavor. smell. So thank you for letting me share today. I love you. Bye-bye. I pass.
Thank you, Roz T. from California. We love you, too. Who else would like to share? We have time for one or two more people.
Hi, my name is Babylonia.
I heard Babylonia and someone else.
Marilee W.
Somebody W. Who was that?
Marilee.
Marilee W. Okay, let's see how our time goes. Go ahead, Babylonia from California. What's your initial?
A as in apple. I said food. A as in astronaut. Good morning, everybody. Very grateful today for Overeaters Anonymous and just feeling so joyful. I don't even know what to do with it. Like, I've been following my food plan more strictly and admitting powerlessness, step one, more intensely. Like, whenever I have a craving, I listen to a step one podcast, or I'll read a one in the big book, or I'll do something step one related, because I know that if I just try to get through that craving with willpower, I'm not going to make it. So, yeah, and whenever I follow my food plan more strictly, I get so joyful because I end up doing something to worship God instead. And I feel His Spirit growing stronger in me. And, like, I just want to scream from the rooftops how happy I am. This program is amazing, and I want to sing, and I love you guys, and thank you for having an awesome day. Bye.
Thank you so much, Babylonia A from California. And Marilee W., you can have 2 minutes. Please go ahead.
I'm Marilee W. from Colorado. He had a desperate desire to stop, but saw no way out. And no one can give me that. If there is still, it talks some more about alcoholism, about this thought of control. We have a thought that someday we'll control and enjoy this. And on page 24, it says, the fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice and drink. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. We are without defense against the first drink. And that's the hopeless state of mind and body that we live in as food addicts. That desperate desire to stop, but there is no way out. And then it goes on to say that we have a solution. But when Dr. Bob met Bill, they did not take a long time working the steps. Steps 1, 2, and 3, they didn't really have 2 and 3 weren't separated at the time, but it was a simple process. But coming to that place in step one of just that brokenness, and that we really have a solution here. So that's what I have.
Thank you so much, Marilee W. from Colorado. Okay, we're about out of time. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will, let's see, who's my reader? Will Penny L.C., please read page 164. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Jody. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.